This is KRCB's North Bay Report. I'm Bruce Robinson. When Prohibition officially began on January 17, 1920, Sonoma and Napa counties were already major wine-producing areas with a growing international reputation. But the 18th Amendment dealt them a blow that took some families decades to recover from. Their stories are told in a new book, When the Rivers Ran Red, written by part-time Healdsburg resident Vivian Sosnowski, a former editorial director for newspapers, including the Washington Examiner. Her book's title refers to the days when armed prohibition agents forced the area's vintners to dump their entire stockpiles.
It was done dozens and dozens of times. Millions of gallons of wine were just dumped all over Napa and Sonoma. The prohibition agents would just come up with their guns and just pull the plugs on these wonderful old redwood vats of wine. The wine would run everywhere. It would run over gardens. It would run through fields. It ran into ditches. Of course, it ran down into little creeks and then into rivers. And one of the older gentlemen that I interviewed, he remembered the day that in Healdsburg, the Russian River ran red for some hours because so much wine had been poured into it.
The losses were massive, including serious environmental damage. But an unforeseeable silver lining soon emerged, thanks to another law that predated Prohibition, one that allowed anyone to make up to 200 gallons of wine for their personal use. Consequently, says Sosnowski, there was a spike in demand for wine grapes.
Only a few months into Prohibition, people wanted grapes in New York, in Chicago, in Atlanta. They were all making wine. So instead of selling the wine to people ready-made, they were selling grapes across the nation so that people could make their 200 gallons.
Grape growers in Sonoma and Napa soon saw the prices for their crops soaring to double, triple, up to 10 times the prices they'd gotten before. It was an upturn that did not go unnoticed elsewhere in the state.
The people who made table grapes before Prohibition, they all voted for Prohibition. Well, after 3 or 4 years, they realized they had bet on the wrong side. So people all down the Central Valley that were growing table grapes started to rip them out and put in wine grapes. So their grapes started to go to market, and all of a sudden, there was a terrific oversupply, and the markets just crashed.
Sosnowski details numerous other hard luck stories, from grape shipments stolen or left to rot on railroad sidings, to corrupt and brutal enforcement agents, and then the compounding tragedies wrought by the Great Depression. Altogether, she says, the 14-year dry spell punched a lasting hole into the North Coast's winemaking history, one that has taken generations to repair.
A lot of people lost the ability to make great wine. Parents died, the kids never made proper wine. That was one thing I heard from people was, we got to the end of Prohibition. Once again, we were allowed to make wine at last after this terrible, terrible time. We didn't know how to make premium wines. We had lost some of that. It took decades to get it back.
When the Rivers Ran Red has been meticulously researched, but Sosnowski happily admits her best material came from interviews with several of the aged wine family members who lived through the era she documents, some of them witnesses who did not survive to see their stories captured in print. I'm Bruce Robinson reporting for KRCB News.